can reach the point at which we've fallen enough that we don't people don't necessarily expect anything different of us. Just, you know, that's what he does. He falls off ladders. And, you know, if we can hold ourselves, we can put ourselves up on a pinnacle, and then when we are, when we show up our humanity, then we are intensely embarrassed and humiliated, or we can accept that we are human. One thing that is true is that averages and percentages are more heavily impacted in youth, simply because you haven't had as many experiences. I did just a little bit of figuring, and the life expectancy in the U.S., which is incidentally rated at number 37 globally, where the United States is the 37th in life expectancy globally. But male life expectancy is 76.12 years, females 80.93, which gives us a average between the two of 78.57 years. Break that down into days at 365 and a quarter days a year, and you've got 28,697 days. And with me at about 3.2 years, I've got 45. If I live to be the average, to have the life average lifespan of an American male or an American human, actually between the two, I've got 45.39 years left, or 16,578 days. And I like to think of each of these days as being a snapshot. Each one of these begins to form the mosaic of our lives. And when we're young, the pictures are a lot bigger. And the dark spots and the light spots show up enormous. The more years you live, the more days you live, those become smaller and smaller and smaller. And on average, those things don't show up as much. But it's so important that in your youth you set the tone for what your life will become. Because it's not random. It's not just do the best you can. We've been given a pattern. And if you would turn to 2 Corinthians with me, we'll see what the pattern is. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We've been given a pattern. And it's, as we heard this morning, as we pattern ourselves after Jesus Christ, that our lives have focus and have meaning. It's interesting, I think, that life is made up of connections. It really is. That's the part of what makes humans unique. And our connections with each other, our connection with God, our connection even with things and places. Often if we think of a certain person, we're going to connect them with a time or a place. For example, my grandpa has had a connection when he was a boy. He said that they would go over and talk with a Civil War veteran who lived close to them. And this Civil War veteran was at the was in the crowd when President Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. So that was a connection that I've gotten. It's sort of something neat. It's part of the human condition. We've got all these connections. And it's terribly important that we manage these connections correctly, and that our connection with God colors everything else. The picture of your life is being constantly updated. And until the time we die, we're adding to it. Too often in life and in relationships with each other, we have assumptions and perceptions, biases, and filters. And somewhere off to the side here is the actual truth. I think Brian alluded to that here a while back. A mother, we'll see her teenage son, in a certain light, interprets all his actions and his motives with a mother's heart. Pride and love to her are a birthright. But a classmate might see the same boy through different eyes. Jealousy, respect, comradeship, fear, or contempt come by a different road to him. That same boy's little brother or a child might view that same boy with different eyes yet. How does this boy treat those over whom he holds intellectual, physical, or experiential superiority? Everybody has a little bit different picture of the same person. This person might have a summer job, this young man. His employer is going to view him in a different light yet. He wants him to be productive. And while he might care about this person as a human, one of his predominant thoughts is this young man productive? And then you're the boy. And you're a lot of things to a lot of people. And the truth is, you're probably both less and more than other people's pictures of you. When we see each other, we begin to build these mosaics. And it's a little bit like seeing somebody at a window. First they're here, they're walking through the house, now they're over here. And first impressions can make a huge impact in us. We say, well, that's the way he is. And we don't take things in context. We don't know how things were, what drove that action. It's not until many pictures are added that an actual pattern begins to appear. And the fact is that whether we like it or not, whether it's right or it's wrong, people label us. When they've done so, the label is hard to shake. And any action that's inconsistent with the label that you happen to be carrying is merely viewed as an anomaly. So if you've got a reputation for being late, I know one person that is good at putting, I wouldn't say good at, she is known for placing that kind of reputation on somebody. This person is a late person, or this is an early person. And once you have received the label of being a late person or an early person, you can do what you will. You are known as a late person or an early person. If you show up late, aha, you are a late person. You can show up 5 times in a row early. Well, this time at least he was early. And that's the way it works. Reputation for being untrustworthy. Once we've developed that reputation, it can be extremely difficult to shake. And I think that's one thing that we need to be careful in labeling other people. It's also something that if we have developed a reputation for something, I think we need to be aware of that. That's just the way it works. If you have developed a reputation for being untrustworthy, there's going to have to be a lot of pictures that show that you are trustworthy before you're going to be able to be trusted again by a lot of people. If we've got a reputation for being manipulative, people are going to be very leery of what you have to say. If you've got a reputation for being selfish, then any time that you do something unselfish, you'll be merely viewed as something out of the ordinary. What about for being godly? But I think it's very important to remember that reputation is less important than fact. If we merely try to safeguard our reputation, if all of our actions are driven in the interest of our reputation, then we are on the wrong track. When the picture has been largely built and consistently reinforced, it's going to take a long time to change it back. And you can't ever take a day back. You can only add another one. Now, Jesus Christ has given himself on Calvary to redeem us. And he can cover those parts of that mosaic that is your life that are wrong. He can cover those and he can change you. But you can't ever get that day back. You can't ever get that confrontation back. But you can always change. And you can always add the good from here out. One other thing that we often do is we expect a certain response from a certain person. And by that expectation, we really leave him no easy way to change. We can help or hinder each other in reaching Christian goals. God knows your heart. Make your life right with him and leave your reputation with him. When your life is done, the pictures will be largely complete. There may be things that are discovered in your life later that are going to impact your representation or your that mosaic in a small or large way, but you will have no control over that. But more important is that real picture, the real mosaic, the real facts of your life. The one that only you and God know about. What will that mosaic be? You're working on it every day, one snapshot at a time. Will you allow God to create a mosaic with your life that will glorify him? Will it be a landscape rich in color and variety? Or will it be a dark night, but maybe filled with brilliant stars? Or will it be a portrait of the Master himself? We have been given a pattern. 2 Corinthians 3:17 again. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's all portray Christ with our lives, giving ourselves completely to him. Why don't we kneel for prayer?